It's time for overrated, underrated, or properly rated with the Chad Hartman Show. Live here on CCO. Call or text 651-461-9226. Come on, join the fun.
Last week, Susie, we had, maybe it was even, no, it was the Friday, wasn't last week, it was the Friday, of so about 10 days ago or so. We had a list. Dave Harrigan had compiled the list, including the most notable moment on WCC radio for the entire year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I make the list?
It was specific to the show, but...
Oh, I think you mentioned WCC.
Well, the award was specific to the show, but let's be honest, the most significant moments on WCCO happen in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's fair. Now, some would say most notable moment, we celebrated 100 years. No, Dave selected the overrated, underrated, properly rated theme song. That's the most notable moment.
Which, that's a shame.
By the way, I can't disagree with. I cannot. Wow, that's a shame.
That's a shame.
Susie, not
exactly. All right. Wow. No, I love the song, Dave. I'm sorry. It's a jingle. It's a nice little jingle. I dance a little.
Wow. Okay. It's a nice little jingle. That's a really high
praise.
Some
are comparing
right there.
It to Espresso. You know, a song of the year.
Mm-hmm. Good luck, babe. All of them.
Taylor Swift, move over.
Yeah, but to Susie, you know what it is? It's a nice little jingle.
It's a nice little jingle.
A little pat on the head.
One of the other awards you didn't mention, Chad, was Susie's Greatest Kitchen Disaster of 2024.
Yes.
Many to choose from.
Many.
That was a category that Dave had. We had four selections. I think the oatmeal one that ended up
blowing up in the microwave.
And it ended up on Dave.
Yeah, it was the one that you poured on my leg.
Yeah.
Beat the chili without chili powder.
I was going to say chili without chili powder. I'm a real winner. I'm a real catch.
You are a catch.
Oh.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, I got a really nice thing from my son and his girlfriend. They went out and got a cake, a beautiful cake that one of his high school friends, I think it's Sarah Bush, but I can't remember, and I wish I did because she makes these.
Oh.
And it looked a little bit almost like Game of Thrones birthday cake. It had chocolate. It looked like bark, but it was chocolate, and it had real pretty sprinkles, and it had berries and little green, greenage, you know, little vines on it, and it was chocolate with raspberry filling. Oh my gosh, it was...
You put some in the freezer and save some for us for
I forgot,
after the show?
I so should have taken two slices and thought about the guys.
Yeah, should have thought of us.
Why did I not? I don't know, because I'm thoughtless.
Because you said, nice little jingle, you know?
Yeah, I kind of poo-poo you boys.
Yeah.
I do.
You do.
I do.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Okay, what do you have on your list?
You know, I'm going with the holidays as overrated, because as we were just sort of, everybody likes to do this. You get back to work, it's Monday, it's weird to have the holiday on a Wednesday. We're all kind of out of it a little bit.
Right.
But we've all just been going, you know, I like just... headstrong every day, shoving this, going there, gotta be there. This person has to have you over. And it just.
It's a lot.
It is. And, you know, we finally, on December 26th, my mom bought tickets for all grandchildren to go to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer at the Stages Theater in Hopkins.
Well, it's the greatest story tied to Christmas out there.
The point is,
you know,
people are toast.
You know who doesn't
Nobody
like it?
Has slept.
This scumbag.
Oh, really?
Like
you
it.
Don't like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Is it the same story
yes,
that they did there?
Yes, it's delightful. On stage, the it was perfect.
Special?
It was an hour.
Dave and Adam Carter are pro bullies.
No, we're against that stupid show portraying Santa as a bully. That's not my Santa Claus.
Well, it's a fair depiction. Turns out Santa is a bit of a bully, and he had to learn his ways, and he had to rely on a guy he bullied. That's why Santa's such a good person now.
Because he's redeemed himself.
Yes, exactly.
God, Dave.
No,
my
Santa's
point,
always been good.
My point is that by the December 26th, we were all catatonic. No one has slept. All we've done is eat chocolate.
Yeah.
And now we're watching this play with all these little people who are squirrely from the chocolate.
Yeah.
And then my mom says, last thing, she says, do you want to come over for dinner tonight? And I said,
no.
I said, I love you, but no. And then my last thing that's, I'm going to say, underrated.
Yeah.
NFL football. Saturday, I went, sat down on the couch to watch three games, and I realized I couldn't watch them.
You're all into the NFL now.
I am. I don't know what happened to me. My point is,
You didn't have NFL Network?
I didn't, but I bought it. I bought it. And then FanDuel came out, those ads. And I'm like, well, I want to go on FanDuel and make a bet.
Oh, so you did.
So Steve Simpson told me today, I couldn't have even if I would have tried it. It knows I'm in Minnesota and it's against the law.
There's ways around it. Come on.
Well.
You're as slippery as they come.
Exactly. We're aware of your ethics.
I don't take no for an answer.
Or your lack of ethics, so you could have pulled that off.
You're right. But anyway, so it was a good couple of days, but I'm very tired.
This texture nails it.
What?
Santa's a little judgy with that naughty and nice list. You know, come on.
Kind of arrogant, too. Oh. How do you get to pick who's naughty and nice?
Yeah, because he sees you when you're sleeping and he knows when you're awake.
He's judgmental.
Santa's got standards. You, Mr. Everyone gets a present. Just
Oprah.
Everyone.
You get a car. You get a car. You get a car.
Hey, maybe if he worked more than one day a year, too, I'd respect him.
You don't think he's working behind the scenes?
No, the elves are cool.
No, he's managing those elves.
Baloney. He's drinking. And he's eating. Look at that big belly.
He's taking care of the reindeer.
He could, you know what he could use? The Thighmaster. The Suzanne Summers Thighmaster.
I'm sure he's got it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, look at his belly. He does. He's.
I didn't say he's used them.
You know what he's going to He's going to be on those Zempic this upcoming year.
That's funny.
It's going to be fit.
Santa's going to be 120 pounds next year.
We had Hot Santa in the Target ads.
Yeah, we did have a lot of Hot Santa. Okay, let's pause here.
Okay.
What else do you have, a radio audience, for overrated, underrated, properly rated? And if you're going to say Rudolph is overrated, it's time to check in and get help. Okay. It just is. I've given up on Harrigan and Carter. They're not decent people. They're not. They're not good. What do you have? 651-461-9226. So we're playing tunes. Dave Harrigan is number one tunes during Jimmy Carter's presidency.
Oh.
Right? Among the texts coming in, putting the brakes on the woke philosophy is highly underrated. More texts. Properly rated. Clint Eastwood's movie, Juror Number Two. An excellent drama. I saw the trailer.
Yeah, I saw it on there, but I didn't look at the trailer.
And then it kind of vanished.
Oh.
I need to check that out. Overrated, more text here, the overly bright headlights on cars. I agree with that so much.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing this now?
I don't know. It drives me nuts.
It does. Needling me, the Chad Arpin Show, overrated, a lot of dot, dot, dots.
Huh.
Susie, underrated. Happy New Year.
Oh.
I truly appreciate WCCO. Thank you.
Thank you. That was nice.
Very kind. All right, Dave, what do you have?
Let's start with this. We celebrated our own birthday on the 28th. Would have been Saturday. My oldest turned 8. And I got to say, for most 8-year-olds, hey, what do you want for your birthday dinner? Pizza, chicken nuggets.
Spoon and Staple for?
You know what you asked for?
What?
Steak. Spicy Thai red curry.
Oh,
wow.
With a
That's
lemon
awesome.
Raspberry cake.
Dang.
And I like this.
And,
good kid.
My wife, Lindsay, was behind almost all of the food being put together.
Yeah.
Knocked it out of the park.
Aww.
Unbelievable. The taste that this 8-year-old has.
That's fabulous.
Isn't
and
it?
Then, yeah. I mean, the food is still tremendous.
Mm.
And there's so much left over that I'm
Again,
enjoying.
Why you don't bring it to work?
We Tomorrow?
Could already Tomorrow we could have some spicy.
Could we have some tomorrow?
I could probably bring in a little red curry for you.
That'd be great.
Might burn your mouth off.
That's fine.
Mm.
God, it's good though.
Yeah.
That's so good.
That's great to have an 8-year-old who's willing to not only experiment, to like things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The cake, tremendous. I made the cream cheese frosting. You're welcome.
La-di-da.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that was challenging.
It's really all that matters.
Okay. By the way, cake without frosting.
What is it? It's nothing.
Massively overrated.
Oh, you like it. You hate it.
No.
I can't remember the
rule. If the cake doesn't have frosting, throw it in the garbage.
Okay.
It's like a pie without filling. Of course you need the frosting.
Yeah, no, it's so
Where do we stand on eating cookie dough?
The raw cookie dough?
Mm-hmm.
I'm all in favor.
I'm pro.
More raw eggs, the better.
Can I give a really hot take? I think ice cream is just okay. In fact, I'm going to say this. Ice cream is overrated.
Okay.
It's not. It doesn't live up to the hype. There's so many better desserts than ice cream.
I'm trying to think of the best ice cream. So I like a Dairy Queen Blizzard raspberry with chocolate chips in it.
Now, I love a peanut butter parfait. I'm not saying I don't have ice cream. I'm just saying
put it in the top three.
I think there are better options.
Well, first of all, you need to differentiate. Are you talking ice cream or are you talking the Dairy Queen soft serve? Because there's a reason they don't call it ice cream, because they can't.
I prefer regular ice cream, but it is a golf trip tradition for me for 40-some years. Wherever I'm coming back from, I got to find in greater Minnesota. You call it outstate because you're insulting to those folks who live out of the metro area. I call it greater Minnesota.
Greater Minnesota.
I identify with them. You know, Moose Lake, Pequot.
Royalton.
Royalton, yeah. That's a good.
Motley.
My go-tos right now are Royalton and Moose Lake.
Yeah? Well, you've got, when you're going up, whatever we go up, not 169.
10?
Out of Little Falls, 10.
Yeah.
10's got some nice spots for some treats.
Yeah, Dave likes to go to Pure Pleasure on that road, too.
Gentleman's
Who
Club.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, can't blame you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Nice.
Overrated that we've been living for the last week in the cold, landlocked version of Seattle.
Or I'm England.
Sick of the fog. I'm sick of the overcast. And I'm sick of the ground always being wet.
Yes.
The ground doesn't even dry anymore. Come on. Let's do better,
well,
Minnesota.
Well, that'll lead me to one of mine.
Okay.
Because on Wednesday, I went for a super long walk. 500,000 miles. That's how far.
It's a good
I'm
walk.
Yeah, it's a good walk.
That's better than
the
impressed.
500,000 miles. But when it's been dark, murky, dank, and you get that rare sunny day, and it's now officially a winter walk, that winter walk is great. Whether maybe it's a bike ride, maybe it's a run, because then boom, we're right back to it. It's depression era.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
I want to get one of those lights at my house, those special therapy lights.
I have one of those lights.
You do?
I used it for a little bit.
Eh.
I need to start using it again.
Okay.
You're supposed to use it right in the morning. Boom, for like 10 minutes. You know, and it can also help you sleep at night. So I need to do that.
Mm.
The last thing that's underrated is getting under the skin and needling those Vikings fans that just hate to watch, or not hate to watch, that hate watch this team. Because they're so afraid of what's going to happen.
Silly.
My dad and my brother texting me yesterday. My dad complaining about the clock management issues before halftime.
Which
was real. Absolutely was real. And
horrible.
Raheem Morris had the same problem last night for the Falcons. Let's go, fellas. Call timeouts, for goodness sake. And then
it's just not that. And as Collar said last hour, O'Connell's been great in these areas. You know, Zimmer was every game like three times. I just don't get how you can screw up the timeouts.
No.
Me either.
30 seconds, we're scrambling. Hey, we've got a lot of timeouts. Maybe we use one.
On my couch, I'm flawless.
Yeah, but then my brother towards the end of the game, oh, we're going to lose this game. They're blowing it all.
So
and I'm just waiting for the end just so I can text him W14-2.
Yeah, 14-2.
He's arguing about all the things they did wrong, and I'm just playing devil's advocate even if I don't believe it.
Nice.
And finally I get the, you just don't know football text. That means I really got to him, and that makes me feel good.
Sibling rivalry at its best.
We get those texts here occasionally, too. You just don't understand it. No, we just disagree.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Okay, let me jump in. I got a few.
Okay, good.
Today, how about these three all-time athletes all born on this day?
Oh.
In age, Sandy Koufax.
That's a good one.
Tiger Woods.
That's a good one.
LeBron James.
Wow. All share a birthday.
All share this birthday. There's another one that's a great one. I think it's February 17th. Michael Jeffrey Jordan and Jim Brown.
Wow. Good one.
That's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you have Koufax, Tiger, and LeBron.
All in the same year, too.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who was kicked out of the chess event, the chess championship, did you see this?
He did not.
Because he was wearing jeans and he wouldn't change. Wouldn't change out of the jeans and was kicked out of the chess event.
Going to screw up his concentration.
Who cares what pants he's wearing? Now, if he's wearing nothing down below, maybe that's a bit of an obstacle. But
I got kicked out of school for wearing jeans.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I went to Fridley Grace High School, Totino Grace.
Yeah.
1 year because I got in trouble in public school, and it was All Saints Day, and we didn't have to wear a uniform, so I wore jeans. And I think Brother Tom called me in the principal's office and said, "You can't have jeans on." And I said, "Do you really think Jesus cares if I have jeans on today?"
You're right, by the way.
I mean, he said, "Call your mother. You're going home."
Yeah. They weren't gonna accept that.
But I had fun.
Speaking of chess, how about Wemby, Victor Wembanyama, who in 2 years is going to be the best basketball player on the planet, and that's might be sooner. The fact they don't post this guy up makes absolutely positively no sense. I don't know what they're doing. But they're in New York, the Spurs, and he goes, "Hey, where should I play chess today?" So he ends up in Washington Square just playing chess with a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. I love that idea. That's great. Tell people, Dave, we both thought about the sick leave detective and how this would be really problematic for this person to your right.
It would be trouble. It was out of Germany, a fella who has found a great little niche, great little, I don't know what you call it, just a job. It's his job now. He's a PI, and companies call him when they've got someone that's called in sick, and they're not really sold on the fact that that person is sick. So his job is to track him down and find out if the story is indeed true or not.
You would be in such deep
trouble.
I would
be cooked.
You would be cooked. You would lose about 20 days off. The teen who was forced to fly home with a stranger's toddler in her lap due to an overbooked flight. So have you guys ever been bumped on an overbooked flight?
No.
I have not. The offer has been out there many,
sure,
many times, right?
Yeah.
But I've never been bumped. So she's a 19-year-old. She doesn't want to be bumped. And there was a layover in the United Arab Emirates. And she thought, don't want to stay here.
She's going to Australia.
She's going to Australia, right?
So not a short flight.
Not a quickie. Mm. And they say, well, guess what? We can get you back on the flight, but you have to share the seat with a toddler.
My God.
So what do you do, Susie Jones, in that case? You have a long flight. You have, let's just go with it. You have a 12-hour flight back home, and you want to go home. You've had enough. You've had a great trip. You've wanted to punch your mom a number of times. And they say, Susie, we bumped you, unfortunately. Turns out we can make one caveat. There's a woman next to you named Sally. She has a toddler, but you're going to have to hold the toddler in your lap on the entire flight. You do what?
Gosh, I think that I get a different flight and suck it up. I don't think I could. I mean, there's so many variables. Is it a good toddler or a bad toddler?
That's it.
Do you know what I mean?
Because I think you've nailed it right there. And you don't know that.
No.
You don't know the mom is either. The mom could be a lunatic,
yep,
too.
Yeah.
No way, Dave. I'm out.
Well, it wouldn't be my first choice. Now, part of the story is she's 19, and she claims that she was legit worried for her safety if she had to get a cab or an Uber,
yep,
go back to this hotel by herself, then make her way back. I guess at that point, you probably take the toddler, but boy, there's no good option here.
Mm-mm.
Well, obviously, the worst option is, trouble.
Yes.
But she might have been leaping to a bit of a conclusion, too.
Certainly. Is this a legitimate story, or are you guys making it up?
It's for real.
It's for real, yeah.
So the airline would actually say you have to hold a toddler on your seat.
She was having a panic attack.
Yeah.
They said, no, we can't do this, and she had a legit panic attack, and they said, okay, well, here's what we can do. You can hold the toddler. I assume mom had to be right next to her, but there was probably a double toddler situation there.
She had a toddler, too. All right, two last things.
What a nightmare. I'm going to take the bus.
The guy who looks like Luigi and is now getting a lot of sex. There's a guy who stepped forward. Does look a little bit like him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Got the eyebrows.
And
got
he
the hair.
Says, since this guy, cold-blooded murder, again, you folks defending this guy, again, look deep in your soul. There's something wrong with you. But now, look even deeper in your soul when you're like, hey, kind of looks like Luigi. He's not Luigi, but I think Luigi's hot, and I like what he did, so I'm going to sleep with this guy.
Oh, my God. What is happening? What is how low has society, as a human race, have we fallen?
Just wait. We'll top it again soon.
We're sinking.
You will sink. Thank you, Susie.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I'll be here all week.
Yeah. Robert Smith, the former great running back for the Vikings, who's a tremendous interview. Robert, next on CCO. It's 36 past one. Vikings win again. Another close victory. They're 14-2. Defeat the Packers for a second time. Staring at the Lions next week. Lions play a meaningless game tonight. But Dan Campbell acting like Man Campbell, saying he's going to play all of his guys. Vikings Sunday night against the Lions in Detroit. If they win, by now you know this, they're the number one seed in the NFC. They get a bye, and they have a great, great chance to go far. This has been a remarkable season for the Vikings. Robert Smith is kind enough to join us. I've talked to Robert many, many times over the years. One of the greatest Vikings running backs of all time. Still does great work on television coverage for college football and the NFL. Robert, always a pleasure. Happy New Year, my friend. When you are just watching a game at home with family, with friends, and it's a Vikings game, are you the normal, analytical, laid-back Robert Smith, or does the enthusiasm and emotion come out a little stronger?
No, actually, it's mostly just analytical. I do a lot of rewinding. I do a lot of analysis on the commentators.
Yes.
So it's all a part of it for me. But I love it. I mean, I love it as a fan, and I love being able to, you know, especially when it's a home game. You know, I was up there a couple of weeks ago for the Chicago game. And when it's a home game, you know, you can hear the fans, and you can hear "Let's Go Crazy" playing in the stadium. So the whole experience is really cool. But yeah, for me, it is a lot of analytics. I love to see the nuances of the game and hear the nuances of the broadcast.
Dave, you talked to my producer, Dave, briefly. Dave, I now see Robert watching this game. I see it taking 17 hours because he's rewinding each play. He's offering his family has watched part of the game. They went to bed. They get up. It's the third quarter, you know.
Yeah, checking, you know, Tom Brady's diction. Hey, let's not speak in the passive, all right? Come on.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so
you do a little picking apart of everything.
Oh yeah.
And I shamelessly steal things too. Like
sure.
You know, if an announcer is going to call out an aspect of the offense or defensive play that I hadn't thought of, it sure as heck is going in the memory bank and something I'll be bringing up later on.
Okay, I want to talk more about the team, but Brady's Brady. And there obviously has been a fair amount of talk about him in his first year. What are your thoughts on his transition as an analyst? I mean, he's underpaid. I mean, so he's not getting much for this gig. I hope he can get by, but what do you think?
He's getting better. I mean, and here's the thing that I'll say. You know, being a quarterback was something that came natural for him. Talking on live TV, it doesn't come natural for most anybody. Especially in that type of environment where you're thrown into the biggest spot in broadcasting. And the bottom line is, like, if you say enough things on live TV, you're going to say something dumb.
Yeah, that is correct. Probably, I know that feeling
probably,
well.
And probably a lot of things. And TV, and especially calling games, and this is what makes it so much fun, one of the things that makes it so much fun, like, you have to be so quick, and you've got all of this information that you've read about during the week and that you've seen during the course of the game, and that you're trying to figure out, okay, wait a minute, is this time to bring in something that I read before? Is it time to bring in something that I just saw on the play? And try and figure that out within the flow of the game. It's not as bad in the NFL. In college, it gets really bad with hurry-up offenses. But you have to try and do that as best as you can in a very short window of time as well.
You see Robert's excellent work on college and the pro game on Fox. Yeah, I don't want to turn this too much broadcast. I mean, it's when I was calling games and I had to step away because of the health of my son, it's still one of my pet peeves because you're right. You put in a lot of work, whether, you know, it depends on if it's basketball, hockey, baseball, it's maybe the day before football, you get all week. But you have to let the game dictate if you're able to use that information. And it's too often, and it can be both sides. It can be the play-by-play guy. It can be the analyst. Now, early in the game, you can. But if in the second and third quarter, you're jamming in some info because you saw some cool note on Tuesday, but it's not germane to the game, I literally will shout out the TV, hey, fill in the blank. It's a great nugget. Has nothing to do with what's going on, though. Yeah. So let's wait. Okay, let's talk Darnold.
Yeah, no, I won't. I won't shout at the TV necessarily, but I'm a person that shouts at robot voices on computerized voices on calls. So you know, judge not, lest you be judged.
Yes, that is. Oh yeah, trust me. I both ways. I that's the reason why we have a text line here, and I definitely get the feedback. Okay, what has impressed you most about Darnold all year, and what impressed you most about him yesterday?
And I could really see this, and it wasn't a lot of time. You could see this happening last year, and I think playing with a guy like Brock Purdy, who was Mr. Irrelevant, and kind of watching the way that he played, I knew that it was going to do a tremendous amount of good for Sam Darnold, and we had a chance to speak with Sam a couple of years ago when he was with the Panthers, and you could just tell the maturity. When I first got to Fox, I think it was my second year at Fox, we called our Notre Dame game USC in the Coliseum, so we interviewed him on the field. So it's really cool, kind of being able to watch a guy all the way from, you know, through the college journey, the tough beginning, you know, the seeing ghosts in New York and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. But to me, what I think he's really done is he's just understood how a quarterback needs to operate within a system, with poise, always focusing on his reads and not the traffic around him, and delivering with anticipation. Because if you just wait until guys get open as an NFL quarterback, you're generally going to be throwing it to the other team. So he's really done a great job, I think. And part of that is the footwork. And that was the most impressive part for me yesterday. And there was a play that, you know, I posted about on Twitter. And it was the touchdown to Addison.
Saw it.
And you could see that he felt the pressure. You can't get your eyes on the pressure, and they did an excellent job. And you talk about critiquing broadcasts. I love when the director gets that shot, and it's right on his eyes. And you see him start to move as the pressure is coming from that right side. He's got a wide rusher on his right. And as calm as day, looking like, I don't know, he's picking up mail, or opening the mailbox, like his face just dead calm.
Yes.
Just steps up. But as he's stepping up, he turns his shoulder, and you could see the way that he holds the ball, that he understands sometimes those guys, as they're swiping around like that, they can knock the ball out. So all of this happens mechanically and automatically for him. And you could see the footwork aspect of it as well, where all of this movement happens. He climbs up just enough into the pocket with his feet in perfect position and just delivers an absolute strike. So to me, it just says that he's a guy that fully understands what's supposed to happen on a play, how it's supposed to work from a timing perspective, but then just goes out there and executes it flawlessly.
You know this 100% better than me, but I'm just going to pick up on a couple of things there. His footwork has blown me away. Right, his ability just to make either the dramatic adjustment or the subtle adjustment, just moving up a little bit, right, left, breaking the pocket, maybe breaking containment and not being the guy that puts his head down, still looking for multiple receivers. I also thought that play you're talking about was kind of that connection between Darnold and KOC's creativity, because what an interesting route from Addison. Right? I mean, you know this better than me, but that was really unique how he kind of sat down kind of like a classic old school button hook and then pinned back and went the other way. Right. I thought it was like the 1970s for a little bit there. But then, you know, instead of just flattening out right there, he turns and spins the other way. And again, that's where KOC trusts Darnold to make those, Robert, 15, 20, 25-yard throws in the narrow spots. And the fact that Darnold is so confident. Now, maybe it burns him a little bit, including on the interception later. But his accuracy on those throws, Robert, is right near the top of the league.
Yeah, and I wonder, even on that interception, if his left foot hadn't gotten hit or I wonder if he would have gotten the actual perfect trajectory, because it you know, you could see the corner sloughing off. I couldn't tell if Sam saw that as he was releasing that ball, because if that corner wasn't there, that ball is completed. But he dropped back underneath to make the interception. Yeah, but I wonder if if he had not gotten his foot hit there, if he wouldn't have been able to make that completion. But that's how you have to play as a quarterback, though. That mistakes are going to happen, and if you don't take chances as a quarterback, then you're not going to be able to make those kind of throws. And finding out situationally, I think, when they're appropriate, when to dial that back. That's the art of the game. And it's something that nobody figures out perfectly. You know, it was interesting. I listened to Brady on a radio interview the other day, and, he talked about, the 600 or 700 passes that he threw in a year. And he said, I maybe would have 10 of them that I thought were perfect. Hmm. Right. Like he says, because most people, they don't really know what I'm trying to do. Like the receiver may have caught the ball up, at his face mask. He said, I missed that throw by 4 or 5 inches. I was trying to get that, right at the top of the numbers, right? So it's that level of detail that it requires. But, there's a time when that's going to become important, right? Like if that coverage, if that defender gets that hand in there at that time. And that's just, those are the variables that we can't account for, right? But that's what makes the game so exciting.
Two last topics for Robert Smith. Robert's kind enough to join us. It's 48 past 1. Chad Hartman here with you on CCO. What do you want to say about Cam Akers and the ability to come back and play in this league after not one but two Achilles tears? And then that catch on the rare, really bad throw by Darnold, right? It was I think I went and made dinner by the time he threw that ball and it finally came down. And Akers catches it, and live, I had no idea if he caught it. So just the play and you knowing that position to come back from two Achilles injuries is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and I've never, fortunately, never had the Achilles. Had a lot of other ones that I had to come back from. Yes. And it's actually, the second one to come back from is a lot easier. Second injuries, because you kind of know what to expect and you understand that your body's not going to be at 100% right at the beginning, and so you're not really as worried about it. But still, it takes a lot of courage, and I applaud him for that. And on catches like that, it's something in practice you try and simulate. You have whether it's a running back coach or, especially when it's the other running backs, because it's not very difficult for them to throw bad passes. but we throw passes to each other, and you intentionally try and get it into a place that's going to make it difficult for them to catch. And just what an incredible catch, and what a great way to win it or put it away. Because I'm sure like many Vikings fans, looking at that score and like thinking, wait a second, weren't we just up 27-10?
Yeah.
And now, sweating at this thing again, but all good. All's well that ends well.
On Twitter on December 24th, as I follow Robert Smith, Robert 26 Smith, I see a school Christmas play photo from 1979. Okay. I want people to check it out. Robert26Smith on Twitter.
Wait a second. Were you alive in 1979?
I was 47 at that point. No, I was 14 at that point. Okay.
I didn't even realize you were older than I was.
Yeah. I'm
significantly.
Yeah.
You're born in a whole different decade.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. What'd you say? I can't hear you. Okay, tell people about this school play and who you were playing.
Yeah. So I was actually a page. A lot of people thought, you know, I was one of the three wise men. I was not one of the three wise men. I was one of the pages. And, I'm not sure what was – I remember being in the play, but I was second grade, so yeah. Not a lot of vivid memories of it. But I remember being in the play. I remember I had to wear tights. Wasn't crazy about that. I remember that there was like a spotlight on me. Like I had to walk all the way around the gym, and there was like this spotlight on me, and I was kind of like frowning as a spotlight was on me the whole time. But the crazy thing about that picture is I didn't get that picture until like 5 years ago.
Oh, that's great.
The guy standing behind me, Tom Holland, not
that Tom Holland. Yeah.
No. Tom Holland is the one that sent it to me on Facebook, and I didn't know who he was at the time. I don't really remember interacting with the older kids that day, right? Because he was a fourth grader.
Yeah.
But 8 years later, he would become my fullback.
How about
at
that?
Eastwood High School. And
that's really good.
Like, and what's great, you can look this one up online. You can go to YouTube, and it's Euclid versus Mentor, 1987. And Tom was a hell of a fullback and helped us ice that game. But he was my lead blocker on a lot of the ISOs, you know.
Oh, like that's good.
My dear friend, the dearly departed Chuck Evans or Jim Kleinsasser leading on the ISO blocks. Yeah. Tom was a heck of a back, but he sent me that picture 5-6 years ago. I got a real kick out of seeing that. My kids do, of course.
Oh, the kids have to. They better be needling you on it. Hey, remind it again, my friend, how much I enjoy our conversations. Let's do it, especially during this run, and see how far it goes. Always a pleasure, man. Have a happy new year, and let's talk soon.
All right, sounds good.
Robert Smith on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Again, Dave, these are number one hits at some point during Jimmy Carter's presidency.
Exactly right.
Never heard of this one.
One of those you don't hear a lot. It's a deep cut.
Yeah.
A group called the Bee Gees.
They have any success with this album at all, you think?
I don't think they did. No.
Just look at it again. Reminded how many just bangers are on this one. It's so good. Your Linda's Construction time check. It's a 57 past one. Time to save on home insulation and get a $500 discount on your project. Jonathan Alter in 2020 wrote a book on James Earl Carter. Jimmy Carter passed away at the age of 100 yesterday. Many observers believe this is the definitive book on our 39th president. And great work by Dave, Jonathan Alter on the show after CBS and Susie Jones. I'd love to have you follow us on Twitter. Try it. Dump us. Just try it for a couple weeks in the new year. At Chad Hartman Show, @Dave_Harrigan, and also podcast the show, Chad Hartman Show.